Hello, and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from both the September 15th and 22nd editions of People, Oprah Daily, and Real Simple Magazine. A few of the articles I'll be sharing today include Charlie Sheen, I Had to Save My Own Life, The Life of an Engaged Showgirl, and 8 New Habits to Pick Up This Fall. Charlie Sheen, I Had to Save My Own Life. The actor opens up about his wild past, finally embracing sobriety, and looking forward to whatever his 60s hold. I've got a lot to live for. By Jillian Telling, photographs by Cliff Watts. This is a People exclusive. On September 3rd, Charlie Sheen turned 60, a milestone he wasn't sure he'd ever see. "I have more days behind me than in front of me," he says, after a People beach photo shoot in Malibu, not far from where he grew up. "But I'm feeling pretty good. Most guys my age have a bad back or knee pain. Somehow I dodged that." The former high school baseball pitcher, who stays fit on his rowing machine, adds, "I just have a bad shoulder that I have to take Advil for." If it seems like life has slowed way, way down for the actor, who spiraled into the depths of his addiction in his 40s, faced countless tabloid scandals, and endured 2 very public and ugly divorces, he says 8 years of sobriety will do that to you. These days, instead of benders with cocaine and call girls, he spends time meeting friends for coffee, visiting his parents, and until recently, wrapping up his debut memoir, The Book of Sheen, out September 9th, and the 2-part Netflix documentary, AKA Charlie Sheen, on September 10th. "It's not about me setting the record straight or righting all the wrongs of my past," Sheen says of sharing stories about just how much cocaine he was using, and Hollywood bigwigs like Clint Eastwood and Les Moonves imploring him to go to rehab. "Most of my 50s were spent apologizing to the people I hurt. I also didn't want to write from the place of being a victim. I wasn't, and I own everything I did. It's just me finally telling the stories in the way they actually happened." He jokes, "The stories I can remember, anyway." Sheen's life was always destined to be unique. Born Carlos Irwin Estevez in New York City in 1965 to actor Martin Sheen and artist Janet Templeton, he spent his childhood with his 2 older brothers, Emilio and Ramon, and his younger sister Renee, tagging along on his dad's film shoots, including months spent in the Philippines on the set of Apocalypse Now when he was 9. At home, he and Emilio loved running around their Malibu neighborhood with their neighbors Chris and Sean Penn and making home movies on their Super 8 camera. Their youth came with relative freedom, and in his teens, he was already smoking pot, doing mushrooms, and drinking. He also picked up an early addiction to massage parlors after losing his virginity to a prostitute at 15 in Las Vegas. Perhaps that's why school never held his interest. "I could have been a little more engaged academically, but being on location and on these sets in these high-stake environments, it made the mandatory curriculum stuff feel borderline useless, he says. Baseball was a constant in his life. He had a great pitching arm. But when he didn't graduate from high school, a potential scholarship to play ball at the University of Kansas was revoked. Timing is everything, he says. I think I have to accept everything happened the way it did for a reason. Otherwise, I'd probably be sitting around in a constant pool of regret and shame. With college out of the picture, Sheen decided to follow Emilio, by then a rising star, thanks to The Breakfast Club, into the family business. He was jealous of the attention and the girls the Brat Packers were getting and wanted some for himself. Success came nearly instantly. He was offered the lead role in The Karate Kid, but had to turn it down because of another commitment. A small role in 1986's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and bigger ones in Platoon and Wall Street, shot him to superstardom in just a few short years. But with success came the age-old trappings of fame. Booze and easy access to cocaine, fast cars, and sex. Looking back, he thinks a lot of his early partying came from fear that the fame and money were all temporary. That voice of doubt was always there, that it was only a matter of time before it all went away. So enjoy it as heartily as you can, he says. In The Dock, his Two and a Half Men co-star John Cryer notes that he sensed Sheen never felt he deserved his success. That was pretty insightful, Sheen says. As he continued to get roles, some were very forgettable, he admits, his appetite for recklessness grew. When he tried crack cocaine, he was hooked. He tried settling down, once with model Donna Peel, once with actress Denise Richards, and once with actress Brooke Mueller, but not even marriage and fatherhood pulled him out of his addictions. He went to rehab several times, but looking back, he knows he just wasn't ready. He also knows it's a miracle that he had only one overdose and one close brush with death. At my parties, I always said, "Park your judgment at the door. No pain in the bedroom, and no one can die," he says. Those were good rules. Sheen hit a new low when he was fired from his hit sitcom, Two and a Half Men, in March of 2011. He then gave his infamous 2020 interview where he claimed to have tiger blood in his veins. He explains that on top of drugs, he was also using a testosterone cream that made him a raving lunatic. He then embarked on a 20-city speaking tour while heavily under the influence. That tour didn't have to happen, he says. I'm not a victim, and of course it takes two to tango, but somebody should have tapped out for me and said, "This is a bad idea." I've combed through all the mental health manuals, and I've never found exploitation as a treatment protocol. Around this time, he also began having sex with men. I flipped the menu over, he says with a shrug, in The Dock of experimenting sexually. He eventually tested positive for HIV, then had to grapple with more manipulation. House guests would take pictures of his medication and threaten to expose him to the press. He paid the blackmailers handsomely. He forked over $1.4 million to one before revealing his status on the Today Show. "I do know for a fact that I never passed it on," he says of the virus. In 2017, Sheen finally got clean. He had already quit drugs, but he was still drinking heavily. One morning, his daughter Sammy, then 12, asked him to drive her to a hair appointment, but he was already too drunk to drive. Her disappointment hit hard, and that day, he decided he wanted to be the kind of dad his kids could rely on. He hasn't had a drop of alcohol since. I keep a mental list of the worst, most shameful things I've done, and I can look at that in my head if I feel like having a drink, he says. As for drugs, he's not interested. Whether it's true or not, I think the next hit would kill me, he says. While he's making amends with almost everyone from his past, forgiving himself for his actions has been harder. Forgiveness is still an evolving thing, he says. I still get what I call the shame shivers. These are the moments that hit me of the heinous memories and choices and consequences. They're less frequent, so I guess that's progress. What has been interesting about making amends is that most people have been like, hey, yeah, we're good, man, but I hope you've also forgiven yourself. Having sworn off paying for sex even before getting sober, Sheen has been single for years. My romantic life is as uneventful as it possibly could be, and it's been that way for a long time, he says. It wasn't even by choice, but the girls, daughter Sammy, 21, and Lola, 20, moved in. Their mom is Richard's. And then when they moved out, the boys, twins Bob and Max, 16, whom he shares with Mueller, moved in, and there wasn't enough room in the car. Plus, I spent so much time and energy chasing that for so long. I had to get to a place where I could be alone but not lonely. He adds, but I am open to love again. Probably not marriage, though. These days, he's just happy to have a great, loving relationship with his parents after they worried about him for so long. If they didn't live so close, I'd probably move from Malibu, he says. Maybe just a house in a field in the middle of nowhere. His once tumultuous relationships with Richards and Mueller, both are featured in the documentary, are in positive places now. We text all the time, he says. So is a return to acting in his future? We'll see, he says. I'm not calling all of this a comeback. I'm calling it a reset. I'm just living for the next moment, whatever that turns out to be. His first kid, Sheen, and his high school girlfriend, Paula Prophet, had a daughter, Cassandra, in 1984 when he was 19. Sheen's now a proud grandpa to Cassandra's three children. His first marriage. Sheen married model Donna Peel in 1995 after they met doing a commercial together. They filed for divorce a year later. In a good place. Sheen and Denise Richards, whom he wed in 2002 and divorced in 2006, are now friendly. Father of five. Sheen and Brooke Mueller with their twin sons, Max and Bob, in 2009. They married in 2008 and split in 2010. Riding shotgun with the Brat Pack. I'd been tagging along with Emilio and his group of newly fame-minted work pals as they hit the town night after night. They were an all-star lineup of Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, and Andrew McCarthy. Rob's fiancée, Melissa Gilbert, was a steady presence as well. I was rolling with the It group from the most popular films of the moment. The Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire, The Outsiders, to name a few. As a group, they couldn't have been nicer to me. It was the gauntlet of hysteria they incited that had me constantly seeking shelter. As soon as we'd exit the limo, I'd be relegated by their screaming fans to the role of stray dog, bringing up the rear for their crowd-parting, bar-hopping rambles. The night always began at the Hard Rock Cafe, then sashayed its way across the landscape of the gotta-be-seen popular hotspots. I felt so small and left out as I watched the Emilio-steered throng, redefining what a copious and decadent bask in the limelight could look like. Chris Penn was a passenger as well on many of those nights. We were oarsmen in the same unknown boat, providing cover and comfort for each other when we needed it most. All of that changed when his film Footloose came out and was a giant hit, sending him overnight to the other side of the velvet rope. That one hit me the hardest. My best friend in life was suddenly one of them. I was torn between hoping he was ready for it and knowing deep down that he wasn't. As those nights escalated, I remained an invisible valet, carrying the bags for a club of celebrity that had the masses hypnotized. I wanted to be told just once by their babe squad that I mattered too. Knowing it wouldn't happen until my celebrated film had a line around the block required a patience I hadn't developed yet. To be in the crush of LA's insane mid-80s club scene with Rob Lowe and a bevy of gorgeous gals was like being shipwrecked with a fat guy. You're gonna starve. Feeling like an afterthought in those vibrant settings lit a fire in me you could see from the effing moon. My inner bear had officially been poked. Excerpted from The Book of Sheen by Charlie Sheen, copyright 2025 by Charlie Sheen. Reprinted by permission of Gallery Books, an imprint of Simon & Schuster, LLC. This has been Charlie Sheen, I Had to Save My Own Life, a People magazine exclusive. Move over, calcium. These five nutrients are crucial for bone health too. Fill your plate with them for stronger bones into menopause and beyond. By Christina Mannion, RDN, published August 12, 2025. This is from Oprah Daily. Make no bones about it. The health and well-being of your skeleton really takes center stage during menopause. Estrogen plays a vital role in preserving bone density, and without it, bones become more porous and fragile, says Corrine Men, D.O., an OBGYN and the Director of Clinical Innovation and Education at Alloy. Approximately 300,000 people in the U.S. are hospitalized each year for hip fractures, and about three-quarters of them are women, she says. Research suggests that in the years surrounding menopause, women can lose a staggering 20% of their bone density. It's sadly no surprise, then, that fracture risk and cases of osteoporosis and osteopenia skyrocket during this phase of life. Thankfully, there are plenty of ways to prevent such drastic losses, says Men, from strength training workouts to vibrating belts that slow bone loss. And don't underestimate the power of nutrition. While we all heard in childhood that drinking calcium-rich milk makes for strong bones, that mineral isn't the only one worth prioritizing. Here are five other nutrients to load up on. 1. Vitamin D. Why it matters. Vitamin D is to calcium what Crypto the Superdog is to Superman. Essential to getting the job done. But in this case, the job is fighting bone loss rather than supervillains. Vitamin D helps the body efficiently absorb calcium from the diet, says Danny Dominguez, RDN, a registered dietitian, holistic pet nutritionist, and founder of Sunbright Wellness. Without enough D, your body can't take on as much calcium, which weakens your bones, she says. It's important for proper muscle and immune function, too. Low levels of the nutrient are also linked with depression. How to get it? All adults need to eat 15 to 20 micrograms or 600 to 800 IU of vitamin D every day. Only a few foods naturally contain vitamin D, including fatty fish like trout and salmon, eggs, and UV-exposed mushrooms, says Sapna Peruvemba, RDN, a registered dietitian and founder of Health by Sapna. You can also get it from fortified dairy and non-dairy milks. If those options don't exactly whet your appetite, opt for a quality supplement to ensure you get what you need. Look for brands that have a seal from the National Science Foundation, NSF, or Consumer Lab on their packaging. Third-party testing agencies that confirm products contain the ingredients listed and meet limits for certain contaminants. 2, vitamin K. Why it matters. Vitamin K, particularly in the form of K2, helps bind calcium to the bone. And without enough K2, calcium may end up in places you don't want it, like your arteries, shares Men. How to get it? The National Institutes of Health recommends at least 90 micrograms per day for adult women, inclusive of both K1 and K2. K2 is found mostly in animal products like dairy and meat and fermented foods. She adds that natto, made from fermented soybeans, offers up to 708% of your recommended daily value in a 3-ounce serving. Not too shabby. Vitamin K1, often found in plant-based sources, like leafy greens and cruciferous veggies, also promotes bone health. Even small portions of these plant-based options, think a cup of raw spinach as a salad base or 2 plantains, can help you meet your daily need. 3, magnesium. Why it matters. Magnesium, it's not just for sleep. Magnesium influences the activity of bone-building cells and helps regulate calcium transport, shares Dominguez. Research also shows that magnesium supplementation is associated with better bone density and reduced risk of fractures in older adults. How to get it? Many women fall short of the 320 milligrams recommended per day. So adding magnesium-rich foods like nuts, seeds, legumes, and leafy greens to meals can be helpful, Men says. Snacking on a 1/2 cup of roasted pumpkin seeds will knock out your requirement from the day. Otherwise, a magnesium glycinate or magnesium L-threonate supplement, as both are well absorbed, can help you reach that goal. Phosphorus, 4, why it matters. Phosphorus is abundant in dairy products, and it's part of the reason milk, cheese, yogurt, and the like are so essential to bone health. About 85% of phosphorus is stored in the bones, as well as the teeth, and helps repair and renew the bone tissue in the body, says Dominguez. How to get it? Adult women should aim for 700 milligrams of the mineral per day. Sounds like a tall order, but you can find it in a lot of stuff you're hopefully already eating. Beans, peas, meat, poultry, seafood, nuts, seeds, whole grains, and dairy foods. Most people get enough from food, so no need to supplement this nutrient, and too much of it can have a negative impact on your bones. Number 5, protein. Why it matters. Protein's not just for muscles. It also supports the collagen structure within bones, Men says. Plus, protein encourages better calcium absorption. How to get it? Given that protein is once again the it nutrient, you're probably well aware of ways to eat it. Maybe you're eating or drinking some right now. But how much you should consume depends on your weight, age, activity level, and other factors. While the recommended dietary allowance, RDA, for protein is 0.8 grams per kilogram per day of body weight, many experts recommend 1.0 grams per kilogram for peri- and postmenopausal women, and up to 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram for active or strength training women, Perum Vemba says. This could equate to anywhere between 50 and upwards of 100 grams of protein per day from legumes, nuts, seeds, fish, dairy, lean meats, eggs, and whole grains. You've been listening to Move Over Calcium. These 5 nutrients are crucial for bone health too. From Oprah Daily. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. The life of an engaged showgirl. How the pop superstar and the NFL champion are taking their love full throttle, by Rachel DeSantis from People magazine. Travis Kelce was armed with his signature sense of humor when he sat down to talk with reporters in Brazil on September 4th, one day before his Kansas City Chiefs lost their NFL season opener against the Los Angeles Chargers in Sao Paulo, and 9 days after he and pop superstar Taylor Swift announced their engagement. "I got one more ring from it," the 3-time Super Bowl champion quipped when asked how his life had changed since dating Swift, drawing laughter from the crowd. "I would say ever since I've been dating Taylor, life has been fun. There's obviously a lot more eyes, and I accept that, but I'm living life, living on a high." Kelce's teammate and close friend, star quarterback Patrick Mahomes, was quick to chime in with his own take on their high-profile romance. "It's a dream, dude." Still, for Swift and Kelce and the rest of the world following their romance, since she attended her first Chiefs game back in 2023, the fairy tale is only just beginning. After their sharing their engagement, they've been receiving well wishes from friends and fans alike, Kelce, 35, said in the September 3rd episode of his New Heights podcast, which he co-hosts with his brother, retired NFL star Jason Kelce. "I appreciate everybody that reached out and sent something, and all the posts and all the excitement that's been going on," he said. It's been really fun telling everybody who I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with. Introducing Swift, also 35, publicly as his fiancée for the first time when they attended a Cincinnati Bearcats versus Nebraska Cornhuskers college football game at the Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City on August 28th, left him giddy. He said, "It's still fresh." For her part, Swift is still showing off her engagement ring. An insider adds, "She's incredibly happy. It's all just perfect." The pair's families have also been tickled by the happy news. In a September 5th appearance on Good Morning America, Jason's wife, podcast host Kylie Kelsey, said that Swift gets the full stamp of approval from her and Jason's daughters, Wyatt 5, Elliot 4, Bennett 2, and Finley 5 months. The girls are thrilled. "They're so excited they're getting another aunt," said Kylie 33. "And we could not be more excited for them and what the future holds. We love love, and we love Taylor and Trav." Furthermore, both families are overjoyed, a source close to the couple tells People. Everyone is thrilled for them. For Swift and Kelsey, the engagement is the cherry on top of an exhilarating era for both stars, including a 13th NFL season for Kelsey. When asked by reporters whether the athlete might be hanging up his cleats at the end of the season, he played coy, saying that while his current season with the Chiefs is the last one on the contract right now, "He is feeling young, and I'm ready to rock, baby." Meanwhile, Swift, who stepped out for pal Brittany Mahomes' 30th birthday in Nashville days after the engagement announcement, is gearing up for the highly anticipated October 3rd release of The Life of a Showgirl. The album, her 12th, has already set a Spotify record for the most pre-saved album countdown page of all time. "Everyone thinks they make a great couple, and it's been awesome to see how they've made time for each other despite their busy schedules," a source says of Swift and Kelsey. Keeping the engagement quiet wasn't easy, but now that it's out, everyone's just excited. Their friends feel like they bring out the best in each other. Though fans remain excited for Swift and Kelsey, "I Want to Know What Love Is" rock band Foreigner even submitted a formal offer to be their wedding band. The couple are taking things one step at a time. Kelsey said on New Heights that he hasn't thought for one second about a bachelor party, but promised that it's gonna go crazy when they do get to wedding planning. That, he said, is the next step. When the big day comes, they want to keep it more private, the insider adds, and not a spectacle. They both have a close circle of friends, and they'll respect their privacy. With reporting by Pernilla Siedenheim, Sarah Jones, and Nick Maslow, you've been listening to The Life of an Engaged Showgirl from People Magazine. 8 New Habits to Pick Up This Fall. Little ways to hit reset and get things going in your favor. By Jennifer King Lindley. Illustrations by Carolyn Schnorr. This is from Real Simple Magazine. Happy September to you. As we say goodbye to the luscious languor of August, and as the sweet scent of pumpkin spice floats through the air, it's a great time to reevaluate our actions and thought patterns. Why? Because stuff is about to get busy again. Big B, for emphasis. and because temporal landmarks, like the first day of fall, feel like natural pauses, says Jody Wellman, an assistant instructor in the Master of Applied Positive Psychology program at the University of Pennsylvania's College of Liberal and Professional Studies. They give us mental space to reflect on who our best possible self could be this season. The kind of person who lets go of old habits and steps into autumn with a sense of renewal and intention. Old you, losing hours to Instagram. New you, finishing the book club pick on time. Renewal isn't about changing your entire being. Rather, it involves gently tweaking your behavior. The beauty of small changes is that they don't intimidate you, Wellman says. You're not overhauling your life overnight. You're just nudging it in the right direction. Here, 8 little ways you can make things go more smoothly for sweater weather and beyond. Number 1. Learn to embrace every season. The cooling temps and shortening days can bring on the September scaries, which is very similar to the nervous feeling we get on Sunday nights before the work week starts. To stave off seasonal gloom, look for some things to get excited for, says Carrie Leibowitz, PhD, a health psychologist and the author of How to Winter. She should know. She lived among the residents of Tromsø, a city in Norway 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle, and studied how they cope during the 2 or so months of darkness when the sun doesn't rise above the horizon. People in Tromsø see winter as being full of opportunity, she says. Instead of comparing it unfavorably with summer and cursing the elements, they lean into coziness, firelight, and warm foods. As each new season rolls around, think about ways you can enjoy it, focusing on activities that get you active and outside. Movement, fresh air, and connection with nature are natural antidepressants, Leibowitz says. For fall, come up with 5 cooler weather delights, like biting into a just-picked apple from your favorite orchard or taking a walk to peep the autumn foliage. Make this a quarterly habit and you'll have positive experiences to anticipate year-round. 2. Stop trying to fix everything. At dinner, your partner vents about a stressful work situation. Luckily, you're brimming with suggestions. But rather than thank you for the brilliant advice, they dismiss your ideas or clam up. Now you're both frustrated. Leaping to fix a partner's problem doesn't work, says therapist Tasha Cedar, PhD, founder of Heart of the Matter Therapy and Coaching in Fort Collins, Colorado. The other person typically needs to feel heard and validated before hearing solutions. Next time, start by simply listening to them. You want to look past the immediate problem and understand what they need, Cider explains, which is often just a venting session. Hear your partner out. Show that you empathize with them. That does sound hard, you might say, and then ask, do you want to talk about it more or brainstorm solutions? Do you need a hug? After feeling supported, they may be ready to problem solve together. Number 3, focus more on your muscles. There's growing evidence that lifting weights is necessary for our long-term health. In fact, a 2024 study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology found that women who strength train a few times a week can live longer and have a 30% lower risk of cardiovascular-related death than those who don't. Strength training can pump you up emotionally too, says Kanoa Green, who founded Nakoa Adventure, a plus-size adventure company, back in 2019. After a frustrating hike 3 years earlier, the former opera singer had a revelation. As a plus-size woman, I was doubting what my body could do. I realized that getting stronger could open a world of possibility, Green says. I would love to paddleboard, for instance, which requires a strong core. Intimidated by the gym, Green exercised at home for a few minutes at a time, gradually lengthening her sessions. I started small. I looked online for fun workouts and didn't beat myself up if I could only do part of them. She focused on moves like squats and planks, which use body weight to create resistance, and worked up to longer sessions with weights. Months later, she returned to the same mountain and made it to the top. I felt unstoppable, she says. As I became more confident in my body, I became more confident in all aspects of my life. Number 4, see your budget in a new light. The B word can elicit a lot of anxiety, says Amanda Clayman, a Los Angeles-based financial therapist and the host of the podcast, Emotional Investment. We tend to view a budget as a rigid plan involving denial and constraint. So Clayman offers one tiny trick to foster a more positive mindset. I recommend renaming your budget, she says, suggesting spending plan or cash flow management plan. Then think of it as a tool to reach your financial goals. This reframe reminds you that money can be the fuel for building the life that is important to you, she says. Take 30 minutes or so to create a spending plan. See how we used it in a sentence? Break outgoing money into two categories: committed expenses, ones that don't typically change, like your mortgage, and discretionary expenses, ones you have more control over, such as takeout. Review your credit card statements from the past few months to base these numbers in reality. Now, step back and think about how you could spend that discretionary portion with more intention. Ask yourself, what's more important to me? How do I want to spend my money? Thinking about your money this way makes it an ongoing conversation you're having with yourself, Clayman says. Instead of being scary, money becomes the resource to shape your most fulfilling life. Number 5, eat more, not less. After a summer filled with ice cream and fried clams, you might be thinking about eating more nutritiously. But eliminating bad or pleasurable foods is rarely sustainable, says Samantha Cassidy, a New York City-based registered dietitian. Restrictive diets can cause a scarcity mentality, where people feel like they're missing out, which can eventually lead to overeating foods you deem off-limits, she explains. A better method is the add, not subtract, approach to nutrition, in which you concentrate on including more nourishing foods in your meals. It's about embracing a mindset of supporting your body rather than focusing on what you shouldn't eat, she says. Start with one simple addition. Try some protein-rich Greek yogurt at breakfast, or have some fruit with your afternoon snack. Then you keep adding nutrient-dense foods like lean proteins and high-fiber grains to your diet. Not only will you be eating better, But these foods can help keep you satiated. Number 6, celebrate your daily wins. Looking for a research-backed way to feel more confident? Track your small daily achievements, advises Tracy Bauer, PhD, a sociologist and the author of The Secrets to Happiness at Work. Don't just keep a to-do list, keep an I did it list. At the end of every day, jot down all the ways you kicked butt and reflect on the people who have benefited from your efforts. You led a fantastic brainstorm that gave your boss lots of great ideas to bring to her boss. Proof that it works. Scientists at Harvard Business School analyzed 12,000 diary entries from 238 workers and found that people who wrote about their day-to-day achievements, even small ones, tended to feel the happiest and most motivated. Feeling positive about incremental daily accomplishments makes a huge difference in your happiness and work satisfaction, Brower says. Putting pen to paper is key because writing by hand helps you retain all that good news. Number 7, reframe how you think about sleep. For people who toss and turn every night, snoozing can feel like a chore, says Jade Wu, PhD, a behavioral sleep medicine psychologist and the author of Hello Sleep, The Science and Art of Overcoming Insomnia Without Medications. This mindset can backfire. You may get frustrated or anxious and try to force sleep when your body simply doesn't want it, she says. If you associate bedtime with effort and frustration, it can become even harder to get the rest you need. It's often how people develop chronic insomnia, she says. Wu recommends thinking about sleep as a friend. Sure, sometimes your friend doesn't appear exactly when and how you expect them, but you trust that, as a friend, they ultimately have your back, Wu says. This loving view makes you more resilient and forgiving. It ratchets down your performance anxiety, the enemy of a good night's rest, and brings you to a place of acceptance, which can help sleep come. Adopting this attitude will also encourage you to care for your friend by providing the things they need to thrive: a consistent routine, a comfortable environment, regular exercise, and mental and physical self-care, Wu says. Number 8, be serious about having fun. One of many reasons adulting is hard: we don't get recess anymore. A 2025 study from Oregon State University found that adults who ranked higher in playfulness, measured by traits including uninhibitedness, spontaneity, and fun-seeking, coped better than others during the COVID lockdown. They demonstrated greater optimism when envisioning future possibilities, engaged in more creative problem-solving, and managed to infuse quality and enjoyment into everyday activities, says lead researcher Zhang Yu Sharon Shen, PhD. This is often called lemonading, as in making lemonade when life gives you lemons. While some people are just naturally playful, it is a skill everyone can cultivate, Shen says. Engage in activities that spark joy, be open to new experiences, and hang out with people who make you laugh, she says. It's about bringing a spirit of fun, openness, and flexibility to everyday moments. Is the whole family home on laundry day? Turn it into a group game and see who can fold the neatest fitted sheet. No time for fun? Block out 30 minutes on your calendar to play. Ready, set, go. You've been listening to 8 New Habits to Pick Up This Fall from Real Simple Magazine. 6 ways to strengthen your bond. You're already BFFs, but there are a few things you can do to fortify this connection, by Dana McMahon. Puppy love is no joke, even if it is a bit of a misnomer, because we love our doggos, well, forever. And you know what? Loads of research indicates they love us back. In fact, one study found that dogs often well up when their owners return home, suggesting possible tears of joy. Another found that pups' heart rates increased by at least 46% when their people said, "I love you," to them. Their hearts actually start racing. Can you even? We cannot. Still, we asked experts how to make this bond even stronger. Be his rock. Spontaneity may be key in human relationships, but stability is essential when it comes to our pups, says Victoria Stillwell, a dog trainer and the star of It's Me or the Dog on Animal Planet. When you provide a safe environment that's as predictable as it can be, your dog learns you're there to advocate for him and support him, she explains. Plan walks, meals, and play sessions so they happen around the same time every day. Be his cheerleader. Dogs tend to develop more secure relationships with people who build up their confidence, says Monique Udell, PhD, Associate Professor of Animal and Rangeland Sciences at Oregon State University. That means letting him sometimes lead on a walk or letting him problem solve when it's appropriate, she says. The next time Fido's ball rolls under the couch, encourage him to get it himself if it's within reach. Then shower him with pets. Get lost in his eyes. When you gaze deep into your dog's eyes, it gives both of you the warm fuzzies. Numerous studies have found that the feel-good hormone, oxytocin, ramps up in us and our dogs when we make eye contact. Oxytocin is known for its social bonding role, says Olivia Riley, PhD, a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard University's Evolutionary Neuroscience Lab. Of course, context matters, she adds. You don't want to have a dog feel threatened because you're staring him in the face. But let's say you're both cuddling on the couch and you're making eye contact. Go ahead and wallow in it. Snuggle, snuggle, snuggle. We know we don't need to say it once, let alone 3 times. It just had to be included on this list because it's so important. Physical touch has been linked with a bump in oxytocin levels for both humans and canines, Riley says. And when it's from a preferred individual, aka his person, aka you, there's an extra boost for the dog. Get consent first, Riley says. Sometimes dogs want their space, so you have to make sure you're not forcing physical contact. Giving them space when they need it creates mutual respect, which Riley says can foster even stronger relationships. How do you know what he wants? Well, if he's found a snug place away from you, that's not the time to initiate a love fest. What you can do, though, is take a seat on a nearby couch. If your dog decides to get closer to you, pet and snuggle to your heart's content. You should be engaging like this for at least a few minutes a day, Riley says, ideally more. Plan daily playdates for the two of you. One of the biggest ways to bond with your dog is by playing together, Stillwell says. you can have a rousing game of hide and seek or chase a ball in the backyard. If Barky Barkster likes going on adventures, Riley says to mix things up. Try hiking a new trail or visiting a new dog-friendly market. It's not only the activity itself that builds the bond, but the fact that you're suiting your dog's particular needs. For instance, Stillwell says, if Dogzilla likes to explore, hide treats and toys, and set up treasure hunts around the house. The bond is built when we give them what they need in a way that's appropriate for us and good for them, Stillwell explains. Reward him with treats. Just as food brings people together, it connects us with dogs too, which really makes sense, according to Riley. From a survival standpoint, not biting the hand that feeds you has proven to be effective. Dogs tend to bond the most with their primary caregiver, the one who feeds them, and many dogs perceive treats as a form of affection. While there is such a thing as going overboard, the general rule is that treats should not make up more than 10% of your dog's daily diet. Any time can be treat time. Dole went out to celebrate his good behavior. He went to bed when you told him to. Or hey, give him a nibbly simply for being the goodest boy on the whole planet. You've been listening to Pets, 6 Ways to Strengthen Your Bond from Real Simple Magazine. Thanks for joining us today for the Women's Hour. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed the show today, and please make plans to join us again next week for another interesting and entertaining collection of articles from women's magazines. And don't forget, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can stream as well as access on demand on our Sun Sounds of Arizona apps for Apple and Android phones. I hope you have a great day, and be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.